The news at 10 o'clock. Fastamai, good evening. I'm Marion Kenny. The first election result of the night has turned out to be a record-breaking one. The youngest candidate to stand during this year's local elections island-wide has been voted into the newly formed Garth Authority's Laxey ward. Liam Miller tallied 483 votes, well ahead of second place Julianne Pinson with 309 and Peter Kinnish, who received 267. Fourth placed Rosalind Bate with 148 votes is the only candidate not to be voted in and loses her place on the Board of Commissioners. After the result, Liam said he was delighted.
Very thrilled, over the moon. Well, moving on with the future now, you know, young blood in. So let's see what we can do with some young ideas and where we can move forward with them. So it's the first ever, I think, 18-year-old, but also the first time we're moving forward into the Garth Joint Initiative. So new faces and, you know, new ideas all around, really.
Well, results are coming in thick and fast. We've had two further declarations in the last 15 minutes or so. Jason Roberts is with me here in the studio with the latest.
Yes, thanks very much, Marion. Paul St Mary was the second authority to declare the makeup of its new Board of Commissioners. The result came in at around 10 to 10. The nine winning candidates there are Richard Ashcroft, Alan Grace, Michelle Haywood, Robert Hurst, Christopher Kinley, Alexander Merchant, Andrew Fair, Ian Skelly and Carol Williams. Former Commissioner Rebecca Sinfield was the disappointing appointed candidate. Of course, she had to drop out at the last by-election because of the row over voter registration. Well, meanwhile, in the past few minutes, the people of Castletown have voted for change, electing an array of new faces onto the Board of Commissioners. The winners there, James Barrow, James Cubbon, Colin Leather, Jeremy Ludford Brooks, Richard McAleer, David Parnell and Carol Quine. Just three of the original commissioners survive onto that board.
New blood there in Castletown. Further results to come. Well, an outgoing Ramsay commissioner says he believes voters are saving themselves for autumn's national polls. A general election will be held on September the 22nd, just 5 months away. Despite turnout so far being relatively high, Captain Nigel Malpass says some may be avoiding local elections because they're waiting to deliver verdicts on their MHKs. He thinks autumn's election will see far more people turning out to cast their ballots.
People have said to me, politicians, there's apathy amongst the population. No, there isn't. There is a calm before the storm. They are so incensed. With this, we're all in this together, as we keep being told, but it seems there are two classes of those together. I think the storm is going to be September. I think of those, some of those MHKs who are now sitting in their nice comfy hollows are in for a shock, because the reason the authorities aren't being supported so well at the moment is until the status changes, then nobody wants to be in the authorities.
In other news, more than 3,000 interim census forms were filled in online within 48 hours. It means around 18,000 of an estimated 37,000 occupied island households have completed their forms so far, either online or by returning them through the post. Anyone who hasn't yet completed the census is encouraged to do so by the May the 6th deadline. A primary school in Douglas is celebrating its 100th anniversary this week and is inviting former staff and pupils to relive their memories. Henry Bloom Noble School, formerly Fairfield Junior and Ballaclone Infant Schools, has opened its archives with a display of school records and old photos. Visitors have been welcomed from 1 to 3pm each afternoon to see how their old school is faring, and there is still one day left to visit. That's the latest so far. I'll have the headlines next at 10:30.
Ballacashug Farms Manx Meat. 100% taste. 100% provenance. 100% Manx.
Classifieds, brought to you by Caledonian Toyota. Call 613 603.
Highfield Feline Retreat, the perfect holiday destination for your pussycat and complete peace of mind for you while you're away. To reserve a suite, please call 406 868 or visit our website, Highfield Feline Retreat, the Isle of Man's premier feline retreat.
Want to get the most from your TV? Terrier Television is here to help. From wall mounting to smart applications, aerial and satellite installations, plus full HDMI distribution. Call the island's cable hiding expert, Terry at Television, on 411 308.
Quintessential for Aveda Beauty. Using pure flower and plant essences for the ultimate hair and beauty experience to soothe, calm and exhilarate. Quintessential Ramsey. Call 817 870 for your Aveda hair and beauty experience now.
Challenge your perception of the hybrid with a great range of options from Caledonian Toyota. Call 613 603 to arrange a test drive.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's Election Night Special. We have half of the results so far through. We have three. We've got the results in Castletown, in Laxey and in Port St Mary. We had schoolboy success in Laxey. The Bobby on the Beat topped the poll in Castletown. We await the results from Douglas's Hills and Victoria Ward, from Peel and from Patrick. We've got a studio full of guests. We'll be hearing from them in a few moments' time. Kat Turner, I just wanted to pick up one more point on with you. You stood in the Douglas East by-election about 6 months ago now, which was, no pun intended, a bit of a cat fight. Would you stand again?
Would I stand again? The answer is I don't know at this stage. I have a lot to learn as a councillor.
Kat, I'm really sorry about this. Speak of the devil, we've got a declaration in Douglas. Let's join Ed.
Yes, thank you, James. You join us here in Douglas Town Hall. And the next voice you hear will be Cathy Rice, the returning officer for the election here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The election of councillors for Victoria Ward in the Borough of Douglas on Thursday, the 28th of April, 2016. Public notice is hereby given in accordance with the Local Elections Act 1986 and the Local Election Rules 1996 as amended, that David John Ashford, Raina Chattel and Kevin Oliphant Smith have been duly elected to serve as councillors for Victoria Ward at the Borough of Douglas until the 1st of May 2020. The total number of votes given for each candidate was Ashford David John 373, Chattel Raina 247, Horning, Falk, 144, Oliphant Smith, Kevin, 162. The total number of voters voting at this election was 484, representing a turnout of 13.59%. The election of councillors for Hills Ward, Thursday the 28th of April 2016. Public notice is hereby given in accordance with the Local Elections Act 1986 and the Local Elections Rules as amended, that David William Christian, Carol Elizabeth Malarkey and Claire Louise Wells have been duly elected to serve as councillors for Hills Ward of the Borough of Douglas until the 1st of May 2020. The total number of votes given for each candidate was Christian David 967, Lavery Kieran Anthony Derrick 206, Malarkey Carol Elizabeth 550, Wells Claire Louise 589. The total number of voters voting at this election was 459, representing a turnout of 17.25%. Thank you all very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your patience.
There you go. We'll just try and get a quick word with a couple of the people that have won. And well, let's go to the gentleman first who topped the poll in Hills Ward, David Christian. Do you mind if we just grab a quick word? You're live on Manx Radio. Firstly, congratulations. An emphatic topping of the polls there.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're well chuffed. Up again on last year, 4 years ago in 2012. I'm seven votes up, as it happens, and I expected to be down today the way the weather was. So to the people of Hills Ward, I'd just like to say, you know, big thank you. I'm pleased that you've still got the confidence in me and given me the support today. Many people turned around and said that the difficult decision the council made in relation to the horse trams was going to affect the sitting councillors, and that's proved not to be the case. In fact, going around canvassing for the last 3 months, the majority of people have actually applauded that the council was actually prepared to make that difficult decision.
Shocking turnout in a way, really almost half of what it was in 2012, though, down to 17% from 31.
It is, and I mean, lots of that is to do with the weather, without doubt. I mean, I know people shouldn't use the weather as an excuse, but in all honesty, today we could see the turnout was going to be low. I mean, we had hail, we had snow, we had heavy rain at one time, and we could see that people just weren't going to come out in the way that they turned out last time. You know, can you use the weather as an excuse? Obviously, people have today, because I can turn around and say the candidates have all put out literature, and there's been a considerable amount of canvassing in the area done. You know, I know people will turn around and say that, well, is there a future for local government? Well, yes, there is. This is a very important year for the island. We've got the local authority elections. We've got the general election coming up in September. There's going to have to be changes, and I have to say that I'm pleased now that I'm still going to be part of that, and in fact, I've increased my result.
Captain Nigel Malpass was speaking in the studio before. He seems to think that people are actually keeping their powder dry a little for September and not really getting involved with this election now because they want to wait and see what happens in September.
I think that could be the case. I've canvassed now since the 21st of January, and I have to say that the majority of issues being raised on the door have actually been central government issues rather than local government issues. That's definitely been the case, and I've been asked by many, many people as I've been canvassing going around this time, will I be standing for the House of Keys elections? And I've turned around and said I'd wait to see what my result was in this election, and I've now got to go away and digest that and consider. But I think you are right. I think there are candidates sitting back waiting, and hopefully come the general election we will see a good field of candidates and the opportunity to make change if that's what people desire.
Okay, David Christian, thank you very much. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And if you just stay with us a moment, we'll try and grab a quick word with one of the people in Hillswood. Unfortunately, Kevin Oliphant-Smith does not seem to be here this evening. It would have been nice to speak to someone that's got in for the first time, but there's a gentleman standing here who has topped the poll, David Ashford. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Not the great turnout again, down a little on last time to about 13.5%. People are saying that the weather's played a factor, people are waiting to see what happens in September as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a multitude of factors this time. You've mentioned two of them there. The weather today has been absolutely horrendous. Personally, I'd like to thank anyone who came out anywhere across the island to vote today, because looking out of the window, I'm pretty certain there were some people who thought twice. Like you say, the House of Keys elections are coming up in September, and I think a lot of people will be keeping their powder dry as well for those. Also, to be honest, I found going around the doors, certainly, that a lot of people weren't upset about local issues so much. They tended to be more upset about national issues. So I think they are putting their direction towards the House of Keys elections in September, and I think we'll see some very good turnouts there.
And a word about the other two that have come in with you. Obviously, Raina, you know well. She's been well established in the council. And some new blood in the shape of Kevin Oliphant-Smith, someone relatively young as well, at 30 years old.
Yes, he is. It's very nice not to for once be the youngest member of the council. I don't have to worry about that anymore. So, I'm delighted to have Kevin, and I'll work with him. As always, I've always said I'll work with anyone who's elected. I've worked with Raina for a long time, and I'm absolutely delighted she's been back. She's been a stalwart on this council for a long time, and I'm sure she will be into the future as well.
Now, we have seen a fair bit of upheaval in a couple of the local authorities this evening, but things seem relatively stable in the council, but with a little injection of new blood.
Yes, it's been relatively stable tonight. I'll have to take your word for it about what's happened around the rest of the island. I haven't seen any of the results, obviously, being in here, which I'll take home and digest, but from what you're saying, it sounds like there has been a bit of a change.
Okay, David Ashford, thank you very much. Well, guys, there you go. That's what's been going on in Douglas this evening. We will get confirmation again of those numbers for you and bring that all back and crunch it. But for now, from Douglas Town Hall, it's back to the studio.
And welcome back to Manx Radio's 2016 Local Authority General Election Special. Beth Espy, James Davis, and I'm Roger Watterson, and we have with us a selection of guests, one of whom is David Talbot, who's been patiently waiting to join us for about the past half an hour. David, has any of this surprised you up to now? I mean, you were a member of the Patrick Commissioners for many years, and also a chairman of the Municipal Association, where you met up with a lot of the other authorities. Is this what you expected?
Well, at first, what a week living lot they are in Douglas. You know, just to be put off by the weather, 13.5%. Yeah, us people out in the countryside, 40% plus. So I think what it demonstrates is that those in the town don't have a lot to say really about what happens nationally. I think we should listen more carefully to what people are saying in the country, because they actually care about politics and they actually care about what's going on in the future. With regard to the comments made about people not actually knocking on doors that Beth was saying earlier, I think that has to do with the organisation of the election. I mean, candidates only had 3 weeks from nomination day to actually make their mind up they're actually going to do something. What's the point of preparing a manifesto, spending the money that you need to do to get it printed, and only to find that in actual fact there's nobody actually to actually contend with? So if in actual fact you had made your mind that you wanted to stand in local politics, anybody with anything between their ears wouldn't in actual fact do very much until nomination day.
It's interesting, we have another text in saying, I live in Douglas, I didn't get a manifesto or a knock at the door. I think a manifesto should be available online and publicised that there is one available. You know, the thing is, David Talbot, I understand what you're saying, but times have changed and you can't expect people to go out and vote for people who can't be bothered to go around and see them.
Yeah, but on earth are you going to get around 4,000 people in Onken in 3 weeks?
Well, social media. I mean, use different ways of engagement now.
Well,
we're in the 2016.
Did. That's what people did, and that's why I think we're seeing more and more young people involved, which is great news, really. Mm. And I think that's really edifying to know that people are generally interested at the younger end, because that's the one thing that we've always looked at, that young people are not interested. Yeah, I think there is a lot of interest amongst young people. If only we give them the opportunity and the voice, and hopefully this will encourage a lot more to come forward who will take an interest both locally and nationally.
We're also joined in the studio now by Jed Power, who has retired from Port Erin Village Commissioners. You've been tweeting prolifically, so just talking about social media there, Jed. One of the first ones this morning, the island turns the clock back a couple of hundred years today and endorses old-fashioned governance.
Precisely. It's a system which doesn't suit the Isle of Man as it stands now.
But you were part of that system.
Absolutely, and on a local front I was able to change that and be part of a good team that managed to modernise Port Erin. Certainly after 4 years we hit the ceiling, as it were, and I think it's time to look far beyond that. Certainly in the south I'm convinced that we could have the six local authorities amalgamated into one from one administration office, and that would save probably millions of pounds, say, over a period of, say, 3 to 5 years.
Phil Gorn, Minister, there you go, there's an idea for you, save you loads of money.
Yeah, certainly, I think it's around about 60 million we spend on local government services at the moment, and there is a serious question that needs to be asked as to whether we can continue to afford to spend that sort of level of money when there are clear inefficiency around in the system. That said, the largest local authority can only attract 13... or in the teens of percents of votes on the two elections they've actually had. They have a significant amount of powers in Douglas, far more than any of the other local authorities. So, you know, we keep talking about creating area authorities as if this is some kind of panacea, and Douglas demonstrates absolutely that that is not necessarily the solution. I think there are far more fundamental changes required with local government, and it's more about the services that are provided, and we need to get those right before we start messing around too much with the structures.
Can I just comment on that? I think that one of the problems we had at the last general election was that there was a lot of talk about a new kind of structure, whether it was 4+1 or whatever it was, but there was very little actually meat on the bone at all. And in fact, there's very little bone, never mind the meat. And I think there was a kind of sort of Damocles that hung over local authorities for a long time because of the rhetoric that went on, particularly from Douglas MHKs, with regard to the structure of future local authorities. I mean, the reality is that nobody at all tried to explain to the local authorities what they had in mind. And I think what will happen is that in the next general election, we'll still end up with people talking about local authority reform without actually setting out much more clearly what exactly it is that they want. It's a complete waste of time, so we must have local authority reform if in actual fact people don't attempt to actually say what they mean by that.
Absolutely, totally agree.
We're also joined now by Nigel Dobson of Garth Parish Commissioners, who was re-elected unopposed. I mean, you are in an area which has reformed, and we were hearing earlier why that is going to work.
Yes, I think it will. I mean, we've actually cut ourselves down from three offices to one, three clerks to one, three responsible financial officers to one, 15 commissioners to nine. But again, the problem with recruiting commissioners, I mean, we've only actually had seven stand, so we're going to have a by-election to fill the other two. So there is a problem in getting people to stand for local government. We often, I think, people don't understand the amount of work involved, perhaps. I mean, I'm a commissioner at a board that meets once a month, but I'm also on five other committees that meet either fortnightly or weekly, and then I'm on a consultation thing with the minister. I'm on something else with Mr. Thomas. And so it does take a lot of time. And I think sometimes commissioners are undervalued for what they do. People don't realise what they do and they're not appreciated. And sometimes, you know...
We will be taking a break in just a moment, but Jed Power, I just want to ask you, I mean, you have retired from the commission, as you say, you felt you had hit the ceiling there. I'm just wondering what you think you can do to achieve reform from the outside. It's all very well shouting about it on Twitter, but what are you going to do?
Well, it's got to come from the upper level. I mean, certainly in the south, we've got six administration centres. It's four very expensive buildings, four very, you know, expensive teams of people, and that can be consolidated into one area, and the whole system can be modernised, the way we communicate with people, the way the public interact and make decisions, and still retain that representation. And that's crucial, because it's not going to be morphed into one ball and, you know, places in Rushen and Arbury will be just forgotten about. There's got to be a formula where this can be done smartly and modernly, and unfortunately we're working on a system that's, say, 150 years old.
But you're still not going to be able to achieve anything from the outside, are you?
Well, I think public pressure. Certainly, you know, you've looked at social media, you've mentioned that today, and it's great to see candidates who've worked very strongly on that. I'm looking at the result in Port St Mary. You've got Andy Fair there, who really asked the question in Port St Mary, and he's second in the poll, which is absolutely wonderful. That scrutinisation that he's brought into the village has really got things going.
You're listening to Manx Radio's election results programme. We'll be back in just a moment.
It all started with a journey. Thought you had to be a petrolhead to be in the cars? It wasn't always the case. In 1907, Stanley produced the H4, known as the Gentleman's Speedy Roadster, a car capable of 80 miles per hour, powered by steam. The daring gentlemen of the new driving age just had to make sure they didn't run out of water.
A car, a story, a passion. Discover unique cars and motorbikes with stories to uncover and see the Stanley H4 running for yourself at the Isle of Man Motor Museum. Follow us on Facebook to find out when. Click isleofmanmotormuseum.com.
Get kitted out with all your boating equipment at Manx Marine Chandlery and Yacht Charter on the Tongue in Douglas Harbour, and you'll be on the water in no time. Manx Marine stock all products, from paint and varnish for while your boat is out of the water, to life jackets and gill clothing for when you're afloat. For the latest news, including monthly deals, Manx SeaQuest tours, luxury yacht charter and more, visit Manx Marine on Facebook or at manxmarine.com.
Whether new builds or extensions, Manx Construction and Groundworks offer full management services from planning right through to completion, with a wealth of expert knowledge and proven track record. Manx Construction and Groundworks. Call Tony on 452688.
At Island Hearing, we listened when you said you wanted the latest hearing care products. We stock the all-new Made for iPhone, ReSound Links and Widex Dream Series. We listened when you said you wanted value. We're up to 70% cheaper than our local competitors. We listened when you said you wanted a winning after-sales service. We provide free aftercare for life. We're listening and delivering quality hearing care. Island Hearing, Station Road, Port Erin.
We were a lot alike, me and you. Same name, same bank details, even a credit card and mobile in the same name. Only difference, you're the one that's paying. Don't be a victim of identity theft. DoxBond provide confidential document shredding and complete destruction of computer hard drives, protecting you from you. To get protected, call 495 845. Visit the drop-in centre at Balthane Ballasalla, follow DoxBond on Facebook, or visit doxbond.com. Securing your peace of mind.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's election night programme with me, Beth Espy and Roger Watterson. Got a number of texts into the studio. One of them was just querying the number of votes that David Christian got in the Hills ward. It was actually 967. All the number of votes for the candidates are correct, but actually the turnouts are being queried, we understand. So we'll bring you more details of that a little bit later.
Right, now we were talking there before with all of you, particularly the candidates, about the quality of the timing that was allowed this time for campaigning. We've heard a lot of criticism about the heavy hand of government. We've heard all sorts of reasons why fewer people stood than you hoped for, although quite a few did, obviously, and why there's been some good-ish turnovers and possibly one or two more dubious ones. But surely we can't ignore, can we, the performance and the quality of the candidates either. Now, I had a look this time, a very careful look through most of the manifestos, and the Oxford Dictionary defines a manifesto as a public declaration of policy and aims issued before an election by a political party or candidate. Now, having read this selection, it becomes obvious that very few of them would fit that definition. Most are autobiographical, followed by either a catalogue of past activities or a future wish list, without any clue as to how those ideas would be implemented or the cost of them. There's little policy to be found. And although perhaps this could be the fact that most local authorities are responsible for a wide range of subjects, none of their jobs attract much public attention or concern. You know, as long as the bins are emptied and the streetlights work, all seems well with the world. So when it comes to things that do attract the public attention, such as an emotion, such as planning issues, the commissioners have little influence or control over this. So I don't think it's fair to say all the literature is bad. Some manifestos are well written and a good read, but they all say very little. While the good ones demonstrate the candidate's experience, others make it clear that the candidate has no clue what it's all about. Just vote for me, I lived in the area for years. So what I'm saying to you is, we blame everything else, but shouldn't we blame it on the very poor quality of candidates' performance, both of the hustings and producing a policy document?
I don't think actually you can possibly know at the outset how to run something before you've actually got involved. I've always felt that you've got this sort of wide idea that you're going to contribute something, but until you've actually rolled your shirt sleeves up and got involved, got your hands dirty and actually seen what the real issues and problems are, to actually come up with a whole set of policies beforehand is probably a very arrogant statement and lacks actually wisdom. Unless you're actually professionally employ people to write a manifesto for you, the best thing to do is to actually put yourself forward in terms of you as a person. Yes, your background is actually very important, Roger, because I think people do need to know what you've done prior to wanting to become a politician, so they can evaluate whether you're the kind of person who's likely to produce the results that the electorate want. Once you become a commissioner, then you can actually begin to see what the issues and the problems are, begin to relate to central government, begin to see what you can and can't do, because that's the first obstacle or first revelation that hits you is that, well, actually, what can we do? And that's not just a local government issue, it's actually a Tynwald issue as well. How many members actually say, until I actually got in, I didn't actually know I could do very little?
But that comment I made then didn't just apply to newcomers on the scene, it applied to existing members. Some have been there 10 years. Yeah. It did seem to me that there was very little meat for the electorate to say, oh, that's worth a vote.
Yeah, I mean, if I could just come in there, one of the things that certainly frustrated me a little bit, if I'm allowed to be frustrated a little bit, is that for the course of probably the last 6 months, I have been challenging local authorities to say, what is it that you could be doing better at a local level, better than central government can do? Come up with some really positive ideas. Tell us what those new services that we haven't even conceived of might be. And I had hoped that there would have been at least a few new ideas coming forward with in manifestos and in pronouncements from people standing for local election. I do agree with you there, Roger, that's not happened. But likewise, this is the classic sitting on the fence politician thing, perhaps, but I do think people need to know a little bit about the candidates. They want to know what the candidate's past is, what they've done, what their experiences are, so they know how they'll be able to handle issues. But I do think in the Isle of Man generally...
Just stop you there, Minister, because we can now go to Patrick for the result there. Let's join Howard Kane.
Thanks very much, Beth. Yes, indeed, we are about to ready to declare there has been a recount here. The next voice you'll hear will be that of Returning Officer Ian Moore.
I, the Returning Officer for the Parish of Patrick, hereby give notice that the total number of votes given for each candidate at the election is as follows. Robert John Anderson, 231. Roger Edward Banks Jones, 224. Adrian Summers Christian, 243. Jeffrey Gelling, 175. Richard Dennis Jones, 247. Timothy Charles Manili Neal, 174. Also, that the names of the candidates elected are Robert John Anderson, Roger Edwards Banks Jones, Adrian Summers Christian, Jeffrey Gelling, and Richard Dennis Jones. There were two rejected ballot papers in the box, one for voting for more candidates than entitled to, one unmarked or void for uncertainty. There were also three spoiled ballot papers, and the total turnout was 32.63%. And there we have it. Thank you very much. We have the candidates here. We'll just grab a quick word with Mr. Jones. Congratulations, back again. Is this as we were, or are we moving on an evolution?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of evolution, and welcome to Mr. Gelling for his successful, exciting election count, and the returning officer and his happy elves who were hard working all evening.
It was a close run thing.
Yeah, well, very much so. And also, of course, Mr. Anderson, John, also new to the commissioners. So I think a bit of fresh blood. Looking forward to the next meeting.
And you were saying, Mr. Gelling's here in the corner. Congratulations. Well done to you. You said you were doing some good old-fashioned out and about, walking up the path and knocking on the doors. What were the issues you were hearing about?
The normal issues. There were people were concerned about, on the new estates, that we don't actually have pedestrian zones. So speeding traffic, not allowing the children to go out. Something to look at. They were also saying they wanted to get to know their commissioners more. So people see the ballot papers, but they don't see the face to the name. So they're asking to meet us.
And Mr. Anderson next door, congratulations as well.
Thank you very much.
You were talking about perhaps in your manifesto more power for local government, more power going there really to local authorities.
Well, I think it's important that we're able to have a voice, definitely. And I'm very happy with the team that's been picked tonight because I think they can represent the parish really well. But of course, that depends on the government in power as well to see how much they listen to us.
And any particular issues you'll be keen to address when you're on the board?
No, I'll wait and see and just see what's prioritised at the first meeting, and we'll face everything as it comes to us.
And just Mr. Christian next door here as well. You seem to have been enjoying the evening.
Yeah, it's been quite fun, actually. I think it's about 20 years since Patrick's had an election, so I think it's been good to come out and get the electorate stirred up and get the candidates together. And yeah, so I think it's been a good evening.
And can you remember such a close-run thing down the bottom there? There was that recount. It was quite tense for a while.
It was. I've never known anything that tense. But yeah, no, it was... quite exciting for Patrick.
It was, wasn't it? We're all getting a little bit worried. Mr. Banks-Jones at the end there as well. Anything for you? I think people have been talking about maybe more communication as well with the people, perhaps using more things like sort of Facebook, social media and such like.
Yeah, I think that's something that is progressing. We've only recently started with the Patrick Commissioner's Facebook site. I think it's only 400 and something or other likes at the moment, but that's a start and it's progress.
It is indeed. And there we go, Ben. I know you've got to get back. I think you've got something else coming in. There's the latest from Patrick, and an enjoyable evening. I think I can see smiling faces all around. It's been very good-natured.
Thank you very much, Howard Kane in Patrick. So just one more result to go, that in Peel, and that expected, well, soon, we hope. Let's go now to the news headlines and join Marion Kenny.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your legal needs. Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shaw Radio Vanin, this is Manx Radio.
Thank you. Good evening. Six results in tonight's local authority elections are in. One from Peel is still to come. Both Douglas wards were declared together. In Hills, victory went to council leader David Christian, who polled a massive 967 votes, well ahead of his nearest rival, Lib Van's Claire Wells, with Carol Malarkey fighting to retain her seat on the council chamber in third place. Derek Lavery in fourth misses out. In Victoria Ward, sitting councillors David Ashford and Raina Chattle retained their places, with newcomer Kevin Oliphant-Smith in third place, pipping challenger Falk Horning. After David Ashford successfully defended his seat in Victoria, which saw less than 14% of people turning out to vote, he says there were a number of factors deterred people heading to the polling stations tonight. Young Voices seized the night in Laxey at this evening's local authority elections. 18-year-old Liam Miller broke records as he topped the polls. He's now the island's youngest commissioner, having beaten three stalwarts off the board. Port St Mary was second to declare the makeup of its new board of commissioners. The nine winning candidates from a field of 10 are Richard Ashcroft, Alan Grace, Michelle Haywood, Robert Hurst, Christopher Kinley, Alexander Merchant, Andrew Fair, Ian Skelly and Bernadette Williams. Former Commissioner Rebecca Sinfield was the disappointed candidate. It's all change in Castletown, where all but three of the previous Board of Commissioners were re-elected. Just over 40% of the ancient capital's registered electors turned out to vote. The returning officer announced the results shortly before 10 o'clock. Those elected are Jimmy Barrow, James Cubbon, Colin Leather, Jeremy Ludford Brooks, Richard McAleer, David Parnell and Bernadette Quine. Afterwards, Jimmy Cubbon said the people had delivered a vote for change. There's been a recount in Patrick. We had that result just before I started the headlines. Over you to Jason Roberts now with the result there.
Yes, thanks, Marion. Well, a bit of drama in Patrick this evening. It's first local election for two decades, which required a recount. In the end, Robert Anderson, Roger Banks-Jones, Adrian Christian, Geoffrey Gelling and Richard Jones were elected. Geoffrey Gelling beat Timothy Neal, the only unsuccessful candidate, by the slimmest winning margin of the night, just a single vote. That result in Patrick. Now we need only one more in Peel, where there are 12 candidates for 7 seats.
Thanks, Jason. Elsewhere now, briefly, the acting Chief Constable of South Yorkshire Police has offered to step down just 24 hours after being appointed following public anger over the Hillsborough disaster. It's after it emerged Dawn Copley's conduct at a different force is being investigated. A search is underway for missing crew after a fishing boat sank off the coast of Pembrokeshire. Coast Guards say the vessel got into difficulty near St David's Head this afternoon. In the football, Liverpool have lost the first leg of their Europa League semi-final with Villarreal. It finished 1-0 to the hosts in Spain. That's it for now. I'll be back with the news at 11 o'clock.
Mann Benham Advocates, for all your general and commercial legal needs. Call 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's election results programme with Roger Watterson and me, Beth Espy. Just before the break, David Talbot, it was all a little bit tense in Patrick. Oh, you're sucking him in there. You can't even speak to me. I just want to go back to a discussion that we were having earlier about the notion of reform, and it was brought up by Jed Power, and it was getting quite lively before we had to cut it short. And a bit of a dispute between whether reform needs to be done bottom up or top down. Now, Jed, just make your case very quickly for us again.
The election this September is the key to it all. This can be done with a pencil stroke by statute. I think it would just take far too long for all these different parties and parishes to agree. I really think it's got to be done from the top down.
Phil Gorn?
And what is it? That's the question. Because it is most likely creating four new bureaucracies. Now, I totally agree with you in relation to the inefficiencies of having four sort of centres of administration in the south with the related clerks and all the rest of that. But central government hasn't got a really good record of understanding and creating new bureaucracies and making them efficient. My view is that there are lots of local authority members out there who can help make that happen and will probably do a better job than if we try to impose something on them. But, you know, we have to go back to the votes. Now, whether Douglas has in the teens of percentage turnouts, which seems highly unlikely based on the number of votes that seem to have been cast, or the votes that some of the candidates had or not, Douglas, even if it's a 30% turnout, it's still not a ringing endorsement of a large local authority with lots and lots of powers. So I think there's far more broken than just a structure, and amalgamating local authorities isn't necessarily going to resolve all the problems. It will reduce the cost. I'd certainly concede that point, but I'm not absolutely convinced it's going to enthuse people to turn out in great numbers to vote. I think we need to work out much more detail of what it is that people actually need from local authorities, what services can be best delivered at a local level, and I think the best people to help us do that are the local authorities themselves.
Makes sense, Jed?
I think time is running out and the decision has got to be made. There's millions to be saved, and really it's got to be action taken.
I disagree with that, Jed. I think that I agree with you in the sense that Tim Moore could pass a motion to actually consolidate a number of local authorities. However, I don't think they got the bottle to do it because it will cost them votes. I think that's the dilemma that we find ourselves in. And I think Phil's right in the sense that it's local people who will make the decisions. They're the ones prepared to roll the sleeves up. The election, all these people who've won their particular elections are people who want to see things change and are prepared to spend the time and the energy and the effort. Even though it's a thankless task, even though they get all sorts of stick through social media, the forums and what have you, and sometimes worse, people are still prepared to actually commit themselves to work for the community.
Nigel Dobson?
I think one of the interesting experiences in the GAF project was that the GAF George Initiative first came about when 4+1 was originally introduced, and there were a number of public meetings in Machall, Laxey, Hanlonan that were very well attended, very anti this 4+1. Over the last 12, 18 months, since we've decided to try and consolidate GAF and successfully done so, we had similar public meetings, equally well attended, with people supporting the merger. And I think you've much more chance of local government reform if you take the people with you rather than impose it on them.
And isn't this the problem? You know, we go round and round in circles. I mean, I don't know how many times, even since I've been involved doing elections, that we've had this discussion. And it just, Kat Tenner, when is it going to come to a point where actually a decision's going to be made and we actually do something about it?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I wish I felt that the people had the power to make the decisions that we're all saying they have. Listening to the turnout in Victoria Ward, and I think it's actually going to turn out to be closer to 30% than the 13 or whatever it was that was said. But it's a shocking figure. And how do we get people re-engaged? How do we give them confidence that their vote is going to count for something at local level and at central government level? It's a real puzzler. I hope that part of my summer is going to be spent going out, knocking on doors, trying to get people to get themselves on the electoral roll. And I cannot tell you how many people I spoke to in November who swore blind that they filled in their forms and they put them in the postbox and they disappeared off the electoral roll despite the fact they did everything they should have done. There was a real sense of aggrievedness out there. So mobilising people is going to be difficult because we have to overcome that weary cynicism and we have to somehow generate the confidence that the will of the people will be reflected in this reform. And that's tough.
Yeah, I can't accept the charge that when is something finally going to be done. I mean, we've actually started local government reform now. I've likened the process that we've begun to if you imagine reform is a little man on a ski jump. You know, they sit at the top on that little bench, and they for the last 50 years, local government reform has been frozen to the spot on that bench. Over the course of the last 18 months, we have gradually warmed up the seat of the bench to the extent that the ski jumper has left the bench and is now sliding down the slope. There is an inevitability that this process will have to continue now. because of some of the steps we've already undertaken. So I'm not as perhaps cynical as Jed in that I do believe that the process has begun. I do believe that things
but
can
Phil,
change.
Could it be Eddie the Eagle that's coming down there?
It could be, absolutely. But at least something is now moving, which hasn't happened
thanks
really
to
for
you
30
and
or
what
40
we've been
years.
Doing. I totally agree. But, you know, the answer to this is lead by example. The government itself has to lead by example. And the people will be voting, as I say, in September. I would raise one question, and I go back to that contentious thing I said right at the beginning. When you look at Guernsey and the Channel Islands, they maintain the same service levels per capita population with a quarter of the staff in central government that we have here.
Do they get the same service?
Yes, I said for the same service same levels. Service. So therefore, we have a lot of people on this island that could be gainfully employed if we could increase business opportunities here, etc., that perhaps aren't necessary to be within central government.
We talk about staffing levels, but the new GOF initiative has now amalgamated three authorities together under one clerk. But with the expansion of duties, expansion of functions, all the various things we've been talking about transferring to local authorities, the quality of the clerks and the actual activities of them will change as well, Nigel. I mean, did you have to take quite a bit into consideration in GOF when you made these changes to your own administration?
Well, of course we did. We have had three clerks working with the previous authorities. Mm. We know their strengths and weaknesses. Two of those clerks are remaining with GOF, and we know which one we felt was more able to lead the team and which one we felt was more able to look after the finances. Yeah. And we've made the decision accordingly.
Yeah, but I mean, with future plans ahead, we notice, for instance, the Douglas Corporation and other areas, it's a fashion that almost, you could call it, is creeping in, of delegated powers these days. Seems a lot being handed to the officials, and Douglas Corporation seems to have done the same, without any political input.
Is that a question or a statement?
Well, it's partly a question and partly a statement. But I'm really trying to find out from the people here whether or not we're heading into an uncharted area here from an administrative point of view as well.
Mm. I think that's a difficulty because Nigel caught us from the circular that went around encouraging people to stand. Now, if you look at that, it was talking about the extra responsibilities, and wouldn't it be good to get involved and share the burden of these and shape the future of your local authority? Well, you know, the cynic would respond to that and say, why on earth would you want to do that? Why would you want to shoulder extra responsibilities? I think that's doing a stare on watch East Enders, you know what I mean? I think the idea really that you're going to somehow bring people on board because you're going to give them more work to do is totally unrealistic, really.
You're listening to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Results Programme. Just waiting for the result from Peel. There were some issues there as the polls opened first thing this morning. Have they caused some problems tonight? We will find out later. You can get in touch with us this evening, 166177 if you want to text, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Just a couple of messages. Engage with candidates, direct democracy or small steps towards it, says one texter. And Rob from Peel says, yet again, the Peel turnout will be high as the Peel people believe in the power of the vote. We hope in the general election that the people of the island see their votes remove the discredited members of this government. Keep your thoughts coming in. We'll be back in just a moment.
Manx Radio Community Outside Broadcasts, powered by Poker Stars.
When it comes to business, everyone's different. Some are big, and others are perfectly tiny. And at Office Equipment Centre, we look after them all, from large offices to home offices. Whether it's stationery or furniture, mailing solutions, even food and drink, we look after every business with the same first-class service. So big or small, there's just one place to call. Office Equipment Centre. For businesses moving forward, we're stationery. Click oec.im or call 628 253.
There's more at the copy shop in Douglas than just copies. You think you know us? Think again. We offer a full range of high-quality digital printing, posters, banners, signs, displays, vehicle graphics, book printing, scanning, design and artwork, and a range of other services. Call in at our Bucks Road shop or visit our website to see what we can do for you. Stay local and at competitive prices with the copy shop, a Manx family business. Call 622 697 or click thecopyshop.im.
Love shopping. Love the Strand Shopping Centre. Whether it's fashion, music, baby products, or that special gift and card you're looking for, you'll find it all at the Strand Shopping Centre. There's even a cafe to unwind in too. And because it's got everything under one roof, shopping's always a joy, whatever the weather. To discover more, find us on Facebook, Twitter, and online. The Strand Shopping Centre. Love shopping. Love the Strand.
Following a cardiac arrest, time is of the essence. For every minute that passes without action, the chance of survival falls by 10%. However, act within 3 minutes using CPR and a defibrillator, and the chance of survival can be as high as 70%. St John Ambulance, in partnership with Craig's Heartstrong Foundation, are providing defibrillator training. St John Ambulance, keeping the heart of the community alive. Call 674 387 to find out more.
Driving or wanting to buy a Fiat or Alfa Romeo? Paul Ridgway is the island's only authorised Fiat service, warranty and recall centre. They also stock Fiat 500s and can source all Fiat and Alfa Romeo cars. Paul Ridgway repair and service all makes and models, including motorhomes, and also undertake restoration work. Call Ellen on 676-999 or find us on Facebook and at Hills Meadow Industrial Estate, Douglas, by the Steam Railway Line. That's 676-999. The Nation Station.
You're listening to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Results Programme with Roger Watterson and me, Beth Espy, and we are joined by a host of guests here in the studio. We understand the Peel result is not too far off. We will bring you that as soon as we have it. We've been talking about a lot of issues this evening, about public engagement and how we can get more people behind the idea of getting out there and voting generally. And Jed Power, you have a theory, I suppose, about people's usage of social media and their success in these elections.
I think this occasion it's relevant. Roger mentioned about the time period of 3 weeks not being long enough to perhaps harvest out all the manifestos and so on. But I think if you look at the candidates that have performed well this evening, I'm sure that Facebook will have been a big part of their success. And the beauty of Facebook that it's not like the anonymous trolling that goes on the Isle of Man. You can actually see who's making comments and who you relate to. And I know certainly, Phil, on your day-to-day business, you deal with a lot of matters by Facebook. And certainly if we can move towards this online engagement, this online democracy, in really 5 years' time, it should all be online. You shouldn't be worrying about whether you're on the electoral register or not. This should be a push of a button. And it's an absolute travesty that so many votes have been lost, you know, because of this antiquated system.
You're assuming, of course, there that most people of all sorts of different ages will be on Facebook or the like, and indeed even want to be, because quite a lot of people avoid it still.
I think on the Isle of Man, we've got the capability to have everyone involved in an online community. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but at least we're progressive in certain areas, but we've got to reach out as much as we can.
Do you think that online voting, Phil, if you were actually, instead of this traipsing out to a polling station on a miserable day, if you could actually, and there are methods, I understand, that you can do it now, if you could just at some time, like you filled in the census form, do it online, that would improve things?
Well, absolutely, and actually later next month myself and Duan Kelly, the head of Conister Bank, and James Hampton are going to be presenting some suggestions as to how direct democracy could actually work on the Isle of Man. I believe that certainly electronic voting for candidates should be something that we should be starting to consider now, bearing in mind we do live in the 21st century and the vast majority of people are e-enabled. But also we need to be engaging with people on a more regular basis and asking their opinions on a number of the key issues that are taking place, whether that's central government or local government. You know, it is very easy now to engage with people through social media. It is very, very simple, and people expect nowadays to be able to have their say. And I think that's part of the reason why there is this degree of disillusionment with government, whether that's central or local government, because people know that they can engage directly, but the systems that we've created don't allow them to do that.
How far do you think that goes before that your representative becomes a delegate?
Well, I think there's two important elements here. I think there's absolutely a role for the public to be actively involved, but equally, and quite bizarrely, I find there are rather a lot of people who really don't care that much about most issues. So long as they've got a decent place to live and a reasonable job, they don't want to be involved with politics. So I think representative democracy is here for very many generations to come, because people ultimately will, you know, there aren't sufficient numbers of people who are interested in politics that will want to actively take part in casting votes. But I do think that there is a role for that direct democracy, direct voting, online voting and social media, an increasing role in the future.
We've had a text in from somebody who's suggesting another way of getting more people out to vote for local authority elections. Local election should be for 5 years, the same as Tynwald. Local in November, MHK in September, then there'll be no by-elections as happens now. What do you make of that?
I think that's a really good idea, actually. Added to which, I think, we've talked around this three-week thing. I mean, that was ridiculous, but unfortunately that's the way the legislation was structured. We did look at trying to introduce some changes to the primary legislation, but unfortunately we weren't able to get that done in time for this election. So we've decided, and obviously this is subsequent, consequent on whoever becomes the new Council of Ministers, but certainly the view at the moment is there should be a review after the general election of both general and local elections to see what we can do to improve things, and quite clearly giving a longer period for local authorities between declaration and vote. That has to happen.
I think the point that's been made, which is a very, very good one, sorry. I think 5 years has to be the right way forward. This year has shown the debacle that we could get ourselves into, where effectively a person who's actually standing as a commissioner now, I know there's several people that have been announced tonight who will be standing in September. So what we should do is make sure that the keys comes first, and then within 6 months we have the local authority elections. So if you're interested in politics, you've done 4.5 years as a commissioner, you can then think, well, if I actually stand for an MHK position, I'm not going to be forcing my local authority into a by-election with all the costs that involves. So I think there's a sensible way forward. It's a very simple thing to change, but it could mean a lot for democracy.
Either that or reduce Keys elections to every 4 years. And I'm sure a number of my Keys colleagues will be throwing things at the radio with me suggesting that. But actually, if we want to keep politicians connected to the people, that's probably something we should be considering.
Right now, we've been talking about those candidates who've had to issue some sort of manifesto to give the voting public a reason to turn out to vote, or then to put an X against their name. There are 90 other candidates who've already taken a seat in one board or another, unopposed, and they will be in office for 4 years as well. They have had no heed to publish, or no need to publish, a manifesto. That we have no idea what they stand for, their political views, their aims, their ambitions, or what they're up to. One or two might publish a midterm newsletter, but most will not. So we really don't have much clue about this. And they are full members of the various boards, just as the people who are elected tonight will be. What we need really to tell you who your elected and non-elected representatives are as we go through this programme tonight. So we're going to the news in a few minutes. So we'll start with just a few of them here for you. In Andreas, there are five candidates for the five seats, and there were the sitting members Richard Martin, Dorothy Sale, Norman Murray, with new members Jimmy Allinson and Bob Clegg. In Arbury, five candidates, Adrian Cowan, Murray Kringle. There were the sitting members, Widew, Stephen Gorn, Jane Glover and Elizabeth Greenhalgh. In Balaff, there was only one candidate nominated for the five seats, and that was the sitting member Sarah Tiercamin. In Braddon, four candidates were nominated for five seats. That's Andrew Jessop and John Quayle, with new members Christine Corkle and Neil Mellon. In Bride, three candidates for five, Pamela Kermode, Michelle Edwin, joined by new member James Crook. In the Douglas Athol ward, the sitting members were Karen Angela, Elizabeth Quirk, Janet Thomany. In the Douglas Derby ward, the sitting members were Colin Kane and Deborah Pitts, with a new member Ferdinand Pabellon. And in the Douglas Murray's ward, two candidates for three, Richard McNichol and John Skinner. So some of these, as you can gather, will be having by-elections advertised shortly. And the Douglas St George's ward, where the sitting members Catherine Corlett, Stephen Pitts and Kat Turner, who has just left us with us before. Now, we'll be just do a couple more, and then we'll do some later on in the programme whilst we're waiting for other results. The Garf in the Lonnon ward, just one sitting member there. That's Nigel Dobsell, who was with us tonight. Garf Mackled had Marinda Farragher, Robert Mockton and John Quayle. And in German, the four for five, Peter Dale, Matthew Wadsworth and Fiona Moore, with new member Martin Fade. Well, that's about halfway through. We'll have some more later.
So generally, thinking about the results we've had tonight, we are just waiting for that result from Peel, which we understand isn't going to be too much longer. Very quickly, Minister, any real surprises for you?
No, I don't think so. I think it's good to be here because it's election night and to hear the real results. I think though Raj's point, which has been subtly made, is what a terrible shame that it's just in a relatively small number of constituencies there are votes. It's actually not that dissimilar to where we were two elections ago. It can be a little bit disheartening, particularly having put so much time and effort into trying to enthuse people to note that that's not necessarily happened in the vast majority of seats.
You're listening to Manx Radio's local authority election programme. Very quickly from Rob, a full copy of my election manifesto is available on my Facebook page, despite there being no election in Onchan. We'll be back just after the news.
Ballacashug Farms Manx Meat. 100% taste. 100% provenance. 100% Manx.
Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shore Radio Vanin, this is Manx Radio.